Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue, the Blue Room podcast that talks about some of the nicer things about Everton, some of the stuff we like. I'm made up to be joined for this episode by Peter McFarlane. Pete, just before we get into your choices, do you want to just introduce yourself a little bit for people who maybe don't know you? You've done enough Blue Room shows now for people to know all about you. But yeah, just a little intro, and then we'll sort of go into what was your first game you remember, and or the first game you went to.
Yeah, so as Les says, I'm on the room, Blue Room, quite a bit. Obviously, Evertonian, massive Evertonian, had the season ticket for 26 years in the same place, sat next to my dad. I also, you know, religiously watch Everton women as well. So, you know, I support both sides as much as I can. And it's a huge part of my life. So, yeah, but the first game I can remember going to, Les, I mean, that's the thing, because obviously I've been an Evertonian all my life, but the first game I can remember going to, I think I've mentioned to you before about when I was a kid, my favourite player was Mighty Mo Johnson. And it was one of those things where, I know, of all the players in the world to pick. But you know, like when you're a kid and you end up sort of idolising random players for nonsense reasons. But actually, to be fair, when I've looked back and I've realised that the first game I can remember, we beat Aston Villa 1-0 at Goodison Park, and Mo Johnson scored. So I think that was where my kind of like childhood obsession with Mo Johnson came from. And then a couple of months later, I was at the derby for Goodison, and we won 2-1. Mighty Mo Johnson scored in that as well, and I think Beardsley got the second. So yeah, that was my first sort of my earlier memories of Goodison. And weirdly as well, I'm going to sound like a bit of a prick here, but when I was a kid, the first few games I went to were actually in a box, because my dad used to have a box when we were a kid, like before we got our proper season tickets. Like, you know, me and my brother got our season tickets like outside in the stands. We used to go to this box and it was amazing experience. I'd actually love to go there before Goodison goes as well, just to sort of reminisce about when we were kids and going up in the posh sheets. And just to give you an idea of where it is, it's the only box. When you look at the main stand, it hangs off the main stand next to the security box. So it's like right on the end of the main stand, sort of towards the park end, and it sort of hangs off. But yeah, that was an unbelievable experience from it. But as I say, I was only a kid, so I'd love to go back and even just do a little tour or something before it's inevitably knocked down. But yeah, great memories.
Yeah, I've never watched a match from like a box or anything posh like that. It's something I need to do at some point.
Well, do you know what the weird thing about it was as well? Was that because obviously I was a kid, so I didn't really kind of take into account. Like I couldn't get my head around chance and stuff like that because it wasn't ever explained to me how chance were. So yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm looking at a program looking for like the words to the chance. Do you know what I mean? But the other thing as well, you can't really, even like I remember the atmosphere for that derby was incredible, but at the same time, nothing prepares you as a kid for the first time you go outside and actually, because that box in particular is enclosed. There's no like balcony or anything. You're literally inside it. So I mean, going out and actually experiencing Goodison properly is something completely different. I wouldn't ever want to go and watch a match in a box now. I think it was just the same. I think my dad had it for like corporate reasons when he used to have clients and stuff that he'd take there. and occasionally me and my brother were allowed to lower the tone a bit. But yeah, it was great.
That's not a bad deal. Just before we get into your choices then, but I think I see what you mean about like going into the ground and feeling the atmosphere for the first time, not sort of hearing it from behind the glass, I guess. And the derby, it's quite an oppressive atmosphere at times, isn't it? Or it can be. I remember the first derby I took Jay to. I think he was three. We were in the top balcony. And it was the one where Suarez got Rashford. Rodwell. Christ, I think of the weekend there. Got Rodwell sent off.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere was horrible. He actually went at half-time. The atmosphere was that bad. He just wasn't enjoying it. So I phoned his mum and said, "Could you come and get him at half time?" So it
Oh.
is like he was E3, to be fair. But yeah, it is. It's quite mad, isn't it? I guess when you first like feel that atmosphere.
Definitely, and I think as well, like I was so unprepared for it because of the fact that I hadn't really experienced. I'd been to a game, but hadn't experienced that. If you know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
supposed to just like you know, if you watch a game on the telly, if you're a little kid, and you know you watch it on the telly, and then all of a sudden you're in it. It's such a huge experience, and it's so weirdly we're all going to be experiencing something similar at some stage when we first step into Bramley Moor, aren't we? Because of you know we've been looking at these videos and this drone footage and all
Yeah.
these things from a distance and all these updates for the last 3 years and in the not too distant future we're going to be walking in there for the first time and we're going to get to experience it. So yeah,
Yeah,
looking forward to that.
just quickly on that then. So obviously you've been to Walton Hall Park loads. That's a new ground and stuff. What's it like that first game going in? So obviously you've watched Everton Women in different locations, including
Yeah.
Goodison, like. But knowing that like this is our ground now, and going in for the first time, getting your bearings, sitting next to people you maybe don't know, what's that like? Because it's gonna be something new for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, because we were going to Southport for a good couple of seasons, and Southport was so out the way. And I
Yeah.
mean, they looked after us. You know, it was great to go there, and it was when I really started following the women's side, you know, properly. And me and my mate Sarah go up there, and it was great. But having said that, it just wasn't Everton. It didn't have that feel of Everton. It felt too far away. It felt like almost like an away trip every time you were going to a home game. And it just didn't feel right. And you know, Walton Hall Park is obviously still in development now. There were meant to be plans to expand and put more stands in and put a lot of work into it. But at the moment they're on hold given the circumstances around finances. So but even so, I mean the second I'm so proud of that place. Honestly, when you look at where it, you know, what it was and what it is now. Obviously, it was a county FA pitch. I remember playing on there when I was a kid, in a final for the school. So I know, you know, I'd been there before, but once it was, you know, a little splatter and a blue everywhere, and once you get the Victorians in there, it didn't take long for it to feel like home. Certainly, the second we walked into there, we felt right at home. Unfortunately, the results haven't been great, to be honest. Certainly, this season we've only actually won one game at home all season. But one thing that you can't ever you know dismisses the atmosphere of Walton Hall Park is really special. It really is. We have our own little place at the back of the stand. So what we did was, you know, talking about the first time we went there, so obviously I'm part of the official supporters club, and one of the big things we try to do is we try to get the atmosphere going. So we have like a bit of a singing section. I know a lot of people are gonna roll their eyes at this, but we have a drum and things like that. And part of the reason for that is because Walton Hall Park is so open. Like you can see on my like photo
Yeah.
behind me, if you watch it on YouTube, there's this one stand and then the rest is open. So it took a while for us to sort of try and build up an atmosphere because it is so open, there's no echo. And we eventually settled on getting to the back of the stand. We asked Evan if we could just have our own little bit at the back of the stand, basically so we could use the echo of the roof. Now, eventually, obviously, we don't want to be having to rely on drums, but you know, as we're trying to grow it and trying to build it and get more people involved, it's just a necessity to get the atmosphere going. But you know what? It really works. It's brilliant,
Yeah,
honestly.
well, that's it. People will, inevitably roll their eyes out at it because there's been, talk of singing sections at Goodison and stuff like that. There was all that sort of hassle in the street end where people might get moved and stuff. But I think it is something that the club need to think about seriously for the new ground because it's going to be alien to everyone. So, we can't let our, I mean, I don't know what the vision will be at that point, but wherever we are, we're not going to have the luxury to let our sort of form and that home advantage slip, are
Yeah.
we? Because if we're not in a position like Arsenal, where like Spurs kind of are, where they're up the top anyway. So if they slip, they probably maybe go down to fifth, sixth, maybe seventh, but it's not fatal. If we do, we're done. If we're not done already, but anyway, that's another story.
I think on that note as well, one of the things we've really concentrated on is to make sure that we've got songs for every player. So every single
Oh, yeah.
player in the squad, we've got like, I mean, minimum two. Yaya Gali's got like seven. Like we literally just we've got so many songs for all these players, and And I'm in a privileged position really where I actually get to speak to a lot of the players as well, and I know firsthand how much of an impact it has. I know how much it means to the players just to hear their name. And that, honestly, that's one of the things that I wish that we had more of at Goodison is more. I love our traditional songs. I love the fact that we've got so many unique songs as well. There's no other team in the league or in football who'll sing Spirit of the Blues or Marching Down the Goodison Road, Goodison Gang. There are unique songs and I love them, but at the same time, I'd love it if we had more individual chance for players. I really would. They don't even have to be that difficult, to be honest with you. Or we have varying levels of difficulty with that, with some of the chants we come up with. Some of them are you need a songbook to learn the words, but others are just really easy to sing along to. And as I say, that the players really appreciate it. It doesn't half help.
Yeah, the big difference I'm getting here is it actually sounds like it could be fun going to watch Everton Women,
Yeah,
and you might actually enjoy it.
you know what? Even when we get beat, we still enjoy it. We have an absolute ball. Honestly, we love it.
Not
So,
something we've had with the men's team for a while.
yeah.
Right, we'll go over to your choices now. So a little bit different this week because you religiously follow the men's and the women's team. You're gonna have a choice from each for you. And anyone who's not familiar with the format, it's old favorite former player, new favorite current player, borrowed favorite loan player, and blue favorite Evertonian or thing about Everton. So we will kick off, Pete. Your first men's team, old former player.
I probably an answer that a lot of people my age would give, Duncan Ferguson. Big Dunk was my hero, and I know again there'll be people watching this, maybe people who are older than me or younger than me, who would say he's probably not the best player. I'd agree with that. He's probably not the best centre forward I've ever seen play for Everton. Certainly, there's been more prolific forwards, Romelu Lukaku, Yakubu, players like that who were just clinical and fantastic all round centre forwards. But Duncan Ferguson for me, he meant so much more than just the goals he got or the. Some of the important goals that he got. He was an icon for me, and for kids. When I was growing up, kids around me and people of my age. I think Joe Royle summed it up, didn't he? When he said he was a hero before he became a good footballer. He was so loved and adored by Evertonians, and he always gave us that little bit of belief and that little bit of hope. And some of the sides he played in, especially, with respect, some really poor sides. Surrounded by some really poor players, and somehow we still managed to lead that line and got us through. I remember, was it the 97-98 season when we just about stayed up on the last game? Big Dunk was absolutely, even with his injuries, he was still so crucial in the running, for that season and so many other seasons after that. I think the only sort of centre forward who's come close to that in that era, in terms of, how much the fans loved him, was probably Kev Campbell. Super Kev, when he especially when he first came in again, he turned the tide for us when he came in on loan. I think he scored a double three. Did he score like two in a game, like 3 games in a row or something, or
Think so,
three
I
games
think.
out? Yeah,
Yeah,
and he
something like
got
that.
player of the month, and it was. But yeah, but again, it's those sorts of players for me who sometimes when you're just desperate for that bit of spark. Someone who's going to lift you, and Big Dunk could always do that for Everton. I felt that he was just he epitomised what I want to see in a centre forward for Everton.
Yeah, I think that Joe Royle quote is spot on. It's hard to put into words how desperate we were at the time for something positive to cling on to. Now, this was he. I think Howard Kendall had tried to sign him from Dundee United, hadn't he, before he went to Rangers eventually, and it looked like he was perfect for us as a player because at the time our strikers were like Tony Cottee, Peter Beardsley, Mighty Mo Johnson just beforehand, but they were all dead small. We'd had like just really small strikers. Obviously, Paul Rydell came in as well, but he wasn't the tallest, although he was quite good in the air. And Ferguson, it looked like we'd missed the chance. So when we got the chance to get him on loan, it was like, oh, brilliant. We're finally going to get to see him. And I think he did become a bit of a hero before he'd even kicked the ball because we were all so desperate to get this fella in. He was like, he wasn't like a European superstar, but he was like one of the best young players in Britain, basically. So when we got him in, I was down at Fratton Park for his first game when him and Ian Durant played. And you could see then he just looked like so something completely different to what we had in the air. And he really did. He polarized opinion largely because of his disciplinary record and his injuries. But he was a fantastic striker. You know, he could score every type of goal, and he just yeah. He I think for the like sort of, I'll say our generation. I'll lump you in with me there, but for our sort of generation, I'll add years onto you there, mate. He was like someone who we could sort of idolize really, and really served as a focal point, not just like literally for the football team, but for the fans as well, I think.
Absolutely. And I think as well, you know, in terms of his actual footballing ability, like you touched on there, I think he was massively underrated. Again, not helped by the fact that he had so many injuries. I think if he wouldn't have had so many injuries, he would have been remembered as one of the top centre forwards that the Premier League seen, genuinely. I think that highly of him. I think on his day he was absolutely unplayable. And the amount of players over the years who've said the same, you know, it's like Rio Ferdinand. Rio Ferdinand's said that Duncan Ferguson was one of his toughest tests in football, and Ferdinand's played, you know, to the absolute highest level. You know, Champions League winner. He's played so many times for England. You know, what a career he had for Manchester United. But he says that Duncan Ferguson was up there. I think Gary Neville said something similar. You know, he was just such an icon, basically, for me. And I think as well, when he came back, when he was manager, you know, the first time around, when he came in for those few games, I think people got a taste of what it felt like to get behind Duncan Ferguson, and just to see him on the touchline. You know, that when we beat Chelsea and he was running up and down, grabbing ball boys and throwing them into the
Yeah, it
family
was,
and
wasn't it?
confident and all that. I think everyone got a bit of a taste of it. Anyone who missed that sort of era got a taste of what Duncan Ferguson was all about, and kind of got a little sneak peek of why we all idolised him so much.
Yeah, and I think if anyone, just before we move on, if anyone wants an idea of how hard this fella is, go and look at any clips of 90s football. Pick any hard man you like. Binnie Jones, Roy Keane, Martin Keown, self-styled Governor Paul Ince. Pick any of them and you will not find one of them picking a fight with Duncan Ferguson. They all bottle out of it. They won't go near him. That's how hard this fella was.
Yeah,
Unbelievable.
I love the one with Paul Ince where he literally throws him on the ground, and Ince almost sort of like he sort of stands up and then realizes it's Dunk and then just pats him on the back.
I think the best one of them, not a hard man, but Jimmy Bullard's reaction to him.
Bullard.
Oh my God. Were you at that game?
Yeah, Wigan,
I was
yeah.
at
Oh,
that
God.
one, and the dig on Paul Shawna. I know it's nothing we should be like celebrating, but it was funny. It was possibly the best punch I've ever seen. Shawna's like 6 foot odd, and it took him off his feet.
Do you know what though? That's the other thing as well. With all this like VAR nonsense and all that sort of thing, that's gone now, isn't it? You don't have
It's a
anyone who
shame
can.
in a way,
You
isn't
just can't get away with anything like that
it?
anymore.
Oh yeah, bring back the old days. That's what it's
Yeah.
about. Right, moving on then to Everton Women. So, who's your favourite old player? This is a name everyone will be familiar with for one reason or another, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I've got to go with Jill Scott. Jill Scott, what an icon. You know, first time round at Everton, she made over 100 appearances. You know, won the FA Cup, I think, in 2010 with Everton. Moved on to Man City and ended up clearing up there as well, winning the league multiple times. I think Jill Scott was the first sort of, was in that Everton side where everyone sort of paid attention to Everton. You know, we had Tony Duggan in there as well. He was such a big name. But Jill Scott for me was always one of those players who you've always looked up to. And she came back on loan a couple of seasons ago, but the season before she retired, she came on loan, and she was still absolute quality. But, you know, talking about in terms of in terms of aggression on the pitch and all that sort of thing, she was a classy footballer, Jill. Very tall as well, for, you know, certainly in the WSL, she was one of the taller players. But what a fantastic footballer. But one of the funniest memories wasn't actually in an Everton shirt. It was for England, and the Lionesses in the Euros final. It was actually at Wembley, and there's this great. I think someone made it into a GIF in the end, where she ends up in a bit of a confrontation with one of the German players and basically tells her to F off and calls her a fucking prick. And it's amazing because you can see, like, with just like
Just one of those
real,
lip reading ones.
you can see like the northeast accent coming through in the lip reading. But she's honestly, but one of the things I'd say about Jill as well, as I say, as part of the supporters club, especially when she came back and I managed to speak to her a few times, what a lovely person she is. What a really honest to God, down to earth, genuinely like lovely person. And I think everyone got a sort of a sneak peek into that as well when she went to I'm a Celebrity and ended up winning that. And certainly we were all absolutely delighted for her. But she's got like a little a coffee shop in Manchester that a lot of people go to, and she's always in there serving her coffees with her partner. And yeah, she's just a really just a genuinely, you know, fantastic person and an icon in the women's game. So I've got to go with Jill Scott for me favourite ex-Everton player.
So is she one of those players then who her personality on the pitch is very different to off it?
Yeah, because she was, I mean, to be honest, she did play with a smile on her face, but she had that edge to it again, you know, a bit like Big, well, she wasn't quite on Big Dunk's level in terms of losing her head, like, but I think everyone respected Jill Scott as well. Anyone she came up against, she was of that generation of England players where, you know, a lot of the players who are playing now will have looked up to Jill from when they were coming up through the ranks. She was just one of those players that everyone respected. But as I say, she had a bit of a I wouldn't say aggressive side, but she was
Bit of
someone who could
needle.
dominate. She could dominate the midfield, put it that way. Yeah, the needle, and just the type of midfield you'd want, to be honest with you. She had everything as well, box to box, great in the air, loved the tackle, and a classy footballer as well. So yeah,
That's
Jill
good.
Scott.
Two cracking choices there. So we'll move on to you, which is your favourite current Everton player. Again, I don't for anyone who's listened to any other Blue Room show with you on, don't think this will come as too much of a surprise, will it? Or anyone who follows
No.
you on Twitter or anything, really.
Michael Keane. No, I've got that's Joe what though. Michael Keane, he's got a great shot on him, hasn't he? Play him up front, he'll be fine.
All day.
But I'm gonna have to go with Dwight McNeil. And again, there'll be people looking at screaming at the screen here because I know he's not been in the greatest of form, certainly over the last few months. But Dwight McNeil for me, I think he was absolutely crucial last season in particular, for
Yeah,
us staying in the
100%.
league. I think that bit, the Brighton away game showed everything that Dwight McNeil, the amount of potential he still has in him. He's still only relatively young as well. I think he's got a wand of a left foot. I think the lad is probably one of the hardest workers in the entire squad as well. He's obviously going through quite a lot as well off the pitch, which is something I could, you know, sympathise with. You know, anything that goes on with family and things like that, it can have an effect on people. But what you can't question is his commitment to Everton. I really think that he's the type of player that we do need. I hope this break, this next 3 weeks, will do him some good. He can rest those legs and get back to his best for the final running. But I think he's just a quality player. Great left foot on him. Works as hard as anyone. And yeah, I just hope that he can turn a corner a bit and get his form back.
Yeah, it felt like, you know, as with a lot of players, he took a little bit of time to bed in. I remember when he first came, I wasn't quite sure what he was meant to be, because he wasn't really doing anything particularly well. But then as soon as he sort of settled in and he hit that run of form, it was like, okay, yeah, this is what he is. He can basically hit a shot from anywhere. He can whip a hell of a cross in. He can go to the other side. He can cut inside and shoot. So he has got a lot to his game. But again, that's kind of dropped off this season. As the team's form's dropped off, his form's dropped off as well. You say about the off the field stuff, obviously, but do you reckon he's been rushed back this season? Because that injury at Palace looked bad. And I
Yeah.
know it wasn't as bad as we all thought and feared, but it felt to me like he's been brought back too soon just to get him in the team, which is the exact opposite of what Dyche did with Calvert-Lewin. He gave him
Yeah.
the time to get fully fit. So it does feel to me like he's been rushed back. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think like you say, I was there at that Palace, and I think we all thought that he was going to be out for a long time. So it was a massive surprise when he was back so soon. I think one of the other things as well to bear in mind with Dwight McNeil, I personally think. And by the way, I'm not slagging Mikhailenko here. I think Mikhailenko's had, you know, he's improved. He's one of our most improved players, certainly this season. I think he's come on leaps and bounds. I think defensively, he's probably one of our better defenders. I think one-on-one defending in particular, I really rate Mikhailenko. One thing I would say though is that if we had better quality on the overlap from our left back, I think that you'd probably see a lot more from Dwight McNeil. Because I think with Dwight McNeil at the moment, it's so easy for he you can double up on him, if you know what I mean. You can stop his cross because you know there's not going to be an overlap. You're not going to have anyone who's going to be able to go on the outside of him and cause you any problems. So I think it's easier to double up on him. I think if we were to go out and find someone who's a little bit more Luka Dean, but better defensively, I'd love it if Mikhailenko could just learn how to cross a
Well,
ball. It'd be ideal.
just on that for me, I don't want this to sort of degenerate into a, like talk about tactics and the manager and stuff like that. I'm not sure this comes from a manager. I know Mikhailenko isn't has never been the best at going forward. But when you look at how we're playing, how we're playing really narrow. And there's times when Mikhailenko's got the ball and Dwight McNeil doesn't overlap either. He kind of stays inside. So I'm not sure if this comes from the manager. And it's, you know, if it does, it's a massive flaw in the game plan when you've got a player like that who can whip in some unreal byline crosses. Forwards are probably still missing, but you know, he can get a hell of a crossing. So I don't know if that comes from the manager, you know. I'm inclined to think it might do.
That's a
But
good. I mean, the other thing as well, I saw someone mentioning the other day about the potential for trying him in that sort of number 10 role. Basically, I mean, it'd make sense for him to come a bit more inside, or even if he played on the right and Harrison moved across to the left, because we know how much of a threat Dwight McNeil can be when he cuts in onto his left foot. I say he strikes a ball as well as anyone else in the squad, maybe barring Michael Keane. So it's you know, he's got a hell of a shot on him, and I think once we once he gets his range back and once he gets his form back and his confidence up, I think we'll see the best of him again.
Yeah, and just finally on that, that is something that the team have stopped doing, isn't it? They stopped switching wingers, and it, you know, it would make sense because Jack Harrison is so left-footed, he can just about stand up on his right foot, can't he? So it would make sense occasionally to put him over on the left, because I think Dwight McNeil is a much better player at cutting inside anyway. Got a better
I
shot
think.
on him and everything. He can take a man on better than Jack Harrison. So it, I find that weird that they don't just swap during the game to give the fullback something else to think about.
I agree. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Right, so we'll move on then to your favourite current Everton women player.
Well, I mean, it's a tough one, this, because I know it's going to sound cliche, but genuinely, I think they're all great. I actually genuinely, it's a squad of players where I actually genuinely like pretty much everyone in the squad. But if I was going to pick out a favourite, I've got to go. Meg Finnegan is up there. Meg Finnegan is going to be the future all-time great, all-time favourite, Meg Finnegan. But what I would say, in terms of everything, in terms of personality, and just in terms of just making me laugh constantly, Aurora Galli, Yaya Galli, Italian international. Honestly, if you, I couldn't recommend it higher than to go on her TikTok and just look at what she, the stuff that she comes out with, or look on the Everton Women Instagram page and just look for any video with Aurora Galli. And, you know, I'll dare you not to laugh. She's got one of the most infectious personalities I've ever known in my life. Everything she does is hilarious. But having said that, when she's on the pitch, she's all business and she's just an absolute dynamite in that midfield. You know, she's got, again, talking about, you know, someone who's got a hell of an engine on it. But if you want to have a look at some of her goals from this season as well, she scored a cracker against Manchester City just before Christmas, and then another one last week or 2 weeks ago against West Ham. The one against West Ham just got goal of the month as well. So she's got a, you know, she's got that quality in her, quality in her, you know, the ability to score from nowhere. She's also got a cool head, takes our penalties now. But just generally, she's just a really, just as I say, infectious personality in terms of someone who will make you laugh anytime you see her speak, but also infectious in terms of how she works and how she plays on a pitch. She's got such high standards as well, and she's really stepped up this season, I think, as being one of the leaders, the real leaders in that side. One of the things as well, I think, when she first arrived over here, didn't speak a word of English. So I think now that she's sort of, you know, she's more comfortable, she's settled in, she loves the city as well, she loves being at this football club. I think we're starting to see her sort of come out of her shell a bit more. Even over the last 12 months, she's come out of her shell, and now she's, as I say, she's one of our main leaders. And what a character! What a player! What a character!
So is she one of those players who brings something more than just like a good engine in midfield and good footballing ability? Can you see she brings more to the team and it's kind of one of those integral characters in the team?
Absolutely, absolutely. But again, not like in a sort of unprofessional way, if you know what I mean. No, she's not like a gazer who's going to put dead fish in your boot. She's just a genuinely funny person. But again, just but intelligent with it, you know what I mean. But again, just that sort of personality that I think you need. And certainly when things aren't going well, she's not. It's not someone who's going to who's going to take it lightly by any stretch of the imagination, because she, you know, if you get beat, it hurts her as much as anyone, if not more, because you know, she's just that, she's a winner, do you know what I mean? She wants to win every game of football that she plays in. But as I say, sometimes you just need those type of characters in and around the squad. And also, you know, we were talking about Duncan Ferguson earlier on about having that connection with the supporters. I think Aurora Garley, from the minute she stepped through the doors of Finch Farm, I think the supporters have idolised her. And I mentioned before about the chance that we've got for players. It's Yaya who's got 7 chance of her own. So, you know, some games, literally, it'll just be 45 minutes of Yaya Garley songs. And the best thing about it is that she'll turn around and conduct us.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that.
He loves it. She absolutely loves it.
That's amazing. That must be the best feeling now. When you know they've heard it and they love it, that's class.
I think she'll turn around and do it. Like you know, sometimes you see that really cringy things where like a player will slide in and tackle and then do that to the crowd.
Yeah.
Like yeah, I'll do it, but in like a way that's like, because we're already singing a song, she'll be doing this, but like with the player she's just tackled like on the floor. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
that's class. Yeah. And you know what? To have a player with high standards, that's what every team needs. Needs 11 of them. But ideally, at least one is good to have.
But I say I've got to throw Meg Finnegan in that same bracket as well, our captain, because she's just Meg just epitomises everything about Everton for me. You know, she's come up through the ranks. She's captain. Yeah, she was named full time captain at the start of the season or in the summer. But Meg, again, she's come through the youth setup. She's had a lot of competition over the years as well. It seemed like we seemed to be signing a centre half, almost as if to replace her for about 3 seasons. And every time a new player had come in, she'd step up and within, you know, a couple of games, she was straight back in the side. And she's undroppable. She's literally undroppable. She's a classy centre-half and a really class person as well. So as I say, blessed at Everton Women with a lot of players, a lot of top players and a lot of really good characters as well, really good people.
Yeah. Still all got I guess the women's game hasn't got so big now where the players don't have that connection.
Mm.
Is there something in that? Or,
well, I think the problem might arise if people, because what we've started to see a lot more of, there's a lot of these sort of you know, the begging signs that you see, these cardboard cutout signs with
you did tell us a great anecdote on mailbag.
so that type of thing will eventually. I think some teams now are starting to get a bit more strict in terms of the contact with the players and things like that, in terms of the amount of time the players have to spend. Obviously, the players love interacting with the supporters. They do, you know. You know, a lot of young kids, especially, come to watch the games and want to come and see the heroes. And I think the players really, really appreciate it. They enjoy going around and speaking to the fans and getting photos and signing autographs. But unfortunately, we've seen a few incidents certainly this season, where as the crowds are growing, it just becomes impossible for them to get around to everyone. And when that hasn't happened, there's been some bad reactions. But thankfully, at Walton Hall Park, we haven't really had that. Not too many incidents like that. The occasional idiot, but as a whole, you know, the fans tend to be very grateful for any kind of interaction. I tend to speak to them because I'm always standing. I always have to stay behind after the game to get all the flags down. So I end up, you know, I'm there for like half an hour, 40 minutes after. So as I'm wandering out, I'll end up bumping into them and saying hello. If anyone hasn't been down yet, or even if, you know, you've got the kids or whatever, you want to bring them down, it's one of the most welcoming places you could go to. The stewards are great. You know, the ground's lovely, and the atmosphere's boss.
And it's not too far from Goodison either, so everyone knows the way.
Yeah.
Right, we'll move on then to your favourite borrowed players. So, again, 2 players, 1 Everton men's, 1 Everton women's. Tell us your men's one, and then I've got quite a specific question to ask.
Okay.
So who's your men's favourite borrowed player?
Manny Fernandez.
So my question is, right,
yeah,
I think 3 or 4 people have picked him. Why is everyone picking Manny Fernandez?
Do you know what I think the thing with Manny Fernandez, and this is the thing with me, was that when he came in, I was looking at that side thinking he completes us. Like, you know, like that, Jerry Maguire, you complete me. That was what I felt like with Manny Fernandez. And I think because he made such an impact, it reminded me of when we got Arteta on loan, when we had him for that sort of half a season and he came in. And he was so good. And he just in that position as well. Manny Fernandez was that midfielder who was just so controlled and so confident in possession, and someone who just took the pressure off completely. He could turn on a sixpence. I hate that expression, but it's come out now. he could low sense of gravity, two great feet. He was great with the ball, and he had a shot on him. But I think to be honest, there's possibly something to be said in the fact that we were so close to signing him. And I think we all kind of regretted it because we all thought that he was going to stay. Yeah. And we were so excited to see how he'd develop and how he'd, you know, how he'd be for us because of just how much of an impact he'd had in that initial sort of 6 months, which is probably why it was slightly more disappointing when he came back for the second time and didn't quite have the same impact. I still think he was class, by the way, but I think the biggest thing is probably the regret that we didn't sign him when we had that chance and when he ended up at Valencia. And by all accounts, it sounded like he kind of did the dirty on us a bit as well. So I think that there's a few things. I mean, another player as well to throw in there, Landon Donovan. You know, but again, it was such a short time and everything. You didn't really get to see him over a long enough period. You know, he had the two loan spells, didn't he? Again.
Yeah.
But because they were so short, it was only in the MLS off season, wasn't it? So he didn't even get a full half season. Landon Donovan.
I think as a lone player, I think that kind of adds to the mystique and the enigma of it, doesn't it? That you've not seen this player. You've basically not had time to fall out of love with them, have you? You've got that little. It's been like a summer relationship, basically, with them, isn't it? You see them for a few weeks, you never see them again, and it just lives on in your mind. Like, God, that was amazing. And it's kind of what it's like with him and Landon Donovan, wasn't it?
That's a really good analogy to use, by the way. That is a really good way of looking at it. I haven't thought of it like that before, but yeah.
But yeah,
summer holiday romance that goes on a bit too long.
But yeah, it's like I just found it dead interesting when you said it was going to be Manny Fernandez, like the amount of people that have picked him. But he did make such a difference to that team for the short time he was in there. And it sort of shows, like, a lot of the time, like, you look back on some of the Moyes teams of football and you think, well, the football wasn't great and the players were all the dusties, but it wasn't like that at all, was it? Some of the football those teams played was brilliant. And some of the players he signed were like proper flair players.
Yeah.
And, you know, could do a bit of everything. So yeah.
I think that's it. I think one of the things he couldn't quite get right was up front, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We couldn't ever quite find the right winger, and we couldn't ever really sort it out up front. And when we did, we got Yakubu, and Yakubu was the one for me. He was like the missing link. And when he got that injury, that was so devastating to us that, you know, I just don't think we ever really recovered from that. And then obviously we got Lukaku after Moyes left, which I think if you would have thrown Lukaku into a Moyes side, I think we would have won something.
Oh, we genuinely. Done some damage. 100%. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right, moving on to your favourite lone player at Everton Women.
I've got to go with Aggie Beaver-Jones, who I saw yesterday. We played against Chelsea yesterday. She's back at her parent club, Chelsea, now.
She's back there now, and she's
doing brilliant as well. And you know what? It's such a shame as well because she really wanted to stay at Everton. And she said to us, you know, at the end of last season, she'd do anything to come back to Everton again. She's kind of stuck with that now. She's still saying how much she loves Everton. She always looks out for our results. I think she's going to be a lifelong Evertonian now. Her family were welcomed so well as well during her time with us. But what a player. She's only still very young, still, you know, learning the trade. But the impact she made at Everton last season was absolutely incredible. Along with Jess Park as well, who was on loan, another player who were put in the same bracket. But I think with Aggie, the fans, we took to her so much. But it was what she gave back to us as well. You know, she gave absolutely everything every time she was on the pitch. She was a proper fighter, proper battler, and just full of absolute quality. But as I say, I actually spoke to her after the game yesterday. She came over and, gave us all a hug. And she was saying about, she was giving us commiserations about the fact that they just knocked us out the FA Cup. But she absolutely adores Everton Football Club. And we think the world of her as well. And again, a player who's got the world at her feet. No doubt it's a name to look out for in the coming years. Aggie Beaver-Jones, she's going to be a star for the Lionesses.
What sort of striker is she, would you say?
She She can sort of play anywhere across the front three, to be honest with you, because she can play out wide and cut in, or she can be alone forward as she was sort of the latter part of the game yesterday. Someone who's very, as I say, very direct, someone who's a battler. I'd probably put a say Richarlison, that sort of player, but maybe with a bit more pace. But that sort of battling mentality where she
All
can cut
rounder
in,
and
yeah, play slightly on the left, but cutting on the right, you know. Lovely finisher of a ball, but someone who's just gonna battle and do defenders' heads in, basically. So,
I can see why she'd be a player who'd be missed then. One of
yeah.
those where they're on loan and you're thinking, please sign, but obviously if they're dead good, the parent like club very rarely lets them go. Apart from in the case of Lukaku, who they couldn't seem to wait to get rid of for some reason, and they couldn't wait
Weird.
to get him back. Very
And
strange.
then and now they're trying to get rid of him again.
Absolutely mental. Yeah. Crazy stuff. No, good choice. We will look out for her with the Lionesses then. Definitely. Maybe not Chelsea though.
Hopefully we'll get her back. We just need a bit of money.
Same old
But
story, isn't it? Right, finally then, moving on to the blue category. So this is your favourite Evertonian, favourite thing about Everton, entirely up to you. Who have you gone for?
I think, I mean, it'd be a bit harsh for me not to mention my dad at some point, you know, to actually just throw him in there. So, but I kind of feel like that's a bit of a given and a bit of an easy answer to give. Do you know what I mean? So I've got two people, and there's a very good reason for it. I'm going to go with Julia Bold and Sarah Halpin, and a big reason for that is I respect the two of them so much, not just as friends. Like I've known the two of them for certainly Sarah for a number of years. I've got to know Julia probably over the last 2 or 3 years from, you know, she's a stadium announcer at Walton Hall Park, and she does so much amazing work. But I think certainly in the current climate as well. When you see a lot of people, not on this show, obviously, and not thankfully not any of my close friends, you see a lot of people having sly digs at women in football and certainly women in the media and talking about football. Well, I'll throw Julia Bold and Sarah Halpin right back at you and show you two fine examples of two of the best people around when it comes to talking about Everton Football Club. Two people who I respect, you know. With every fiber of me being, two people who are absolutely not only great people away from their work, but two dedicated people who represent our football club in such a fantastic way. You know, just give a bit of background in terms of what Sarah's done for Everton Women, for example. When we first started going to watch Everton Women, no one was doing anything on social media. They didn't have any kind of, you know, there was no platform. There were no teams in the WSL who had anyone who was doing that type of thing. And Sarah wanted to go down to go and interview players. She'd set up her own page on Facebook, and she called the Bird is Blue, and she wanted to
Oh
go
yeah, I
down and
remember
inter-
that.
yeah,
Yeah.
and she wanted to go down and interview players. And it was all about, like, you know, we wanted to start going and shine a bit more of the spotlight on the women's team. And as I say, this is at the time. This is before this big push now, which is fantastic to see. This is before that. So this wasn't to do with, you know, raising a profile or jumping on the back of a. Of something, do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? This was purely out of wanting to do something and wanting to give coverage to these players, and Sarah did that off her own bat. And eventually, Everton approached that. They liked what she did. They asked her to come and do it with them officially. And before you knew it, every other team in the WSL was looking at what Everton were doing, and now you're seeing it repeated. And the growth in the women's game has been huge. I'm not saying it's all down to Sarah, but what I would say is in terms of you know, you talk about you want your kids to have someone to look up to. You want your kids to have idols, and you want to have people you can aspire to be like. And I think that Sarah Halpin ticks those boxes, and Julia Bold as well. You know, I always have this conversation with numerous people. I say not necessarily close friends or anything like that, but I've seen people try and dismiss women's opinions when it comes to football. I've seen people try and say that if you haven't played the men's game, you shouldn't be commenting about the men's game. Well, what I'd say to you is that if you're going to dismiss the opinion of 50% of the world's population based on the body that you were born in, then that's your fault. That's on you. That it certainly doesn't define the quality and the personality and the dedication that those two in particular have towards Everton Football Club and football as a whole. So I think the two people who I'm very proud of and two people who are iconic in terms of what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say fairer than that. It's like, I find it so weird the way this is sort of building up momentum. It's so regressive, and it's like, we should be way past that now. But the fact that people are talking like that, I think everyone probably knows who you're referring to. But it just feels to me like now, if people want to sort of get on in one way or another, they'll just like punch down at someone, and they'll punch down at a set of people, and that'll raise their profile. And it's dead sad because you see it across everything, don't you? You see it across politics, football, everything. You see people punching down to try and raise their profile and make themselves feel better. I think the best thing you can do is just not interact with them. Don't retweet them. Don't even quote tweet them, calling them a dickhead. Just don't bother. If you're gonna do that, take a photo of their tweet and tweet that instead of giving their thing any actual interaction, because you really don't need the profile raising at all. There's just no justification for it, is there?
I think as well, I think it's so easy for people to just throw something out on like social media or whatever
Yeah.
and not actually think about the person behind it. It's so impersonal, if you like, that people don't actually think about the knock-on effect that it can actually have on someone as a person.
Yeah.
As I say, I just think that maybe people can be a bit more careful with what they say and certainly start appreciating people for the great work they do. But again, talk about Julia as well. She did this the Everton podcast, didn't she, for the
Yeah, it's
BBC,
brilliant.
going through one of the most turbulent years I think that you could possibly
Yeah.
imagine as an Evertonian or in for any football club, the amount of things that were going on during that time. And that document, that podcast series was absolutely incredible. And again, it's one of those things where I remember like the Everton video, the History of Everton video when I was a kid. I've still got it
VHS.
upstairs. Yeah,
Yeah,
I haven't got a
I've
VHS player anymore, so I can't watch it, but it
got
was great. I'll have to find it
that.
on YouTube or something. But and people talk about these specific things, these very specific things that kind of capture a moment of Everton. And I feel like Julia's podcast certainly did that for last season. And what a time for it to have actually gotten there and done it as well.
Yeah.
But again, I think as well when you see the way, in the press conferences, the way Sean Dyche responds to her, certainly the way she conducts herself when she does the Radio Merseyside sports show. I know that she's been doing a lot more stuff with Five Live and even some televised things more recently as well. I think again, she's someone who, if you've got a daughter who's looking for someone to look up to, I think that they couldn't do much better than Julia Bowles.
Yeah, definitely. And the women's game, as you say, it's just getting bigger on every level. So, like the team I coach, Hoyley, their girls' teams now have gone from, I'd say they had maybe one team about 5 years ago, and now there's two or three in each age group. So it's just getting massive. And you're right, they need these role models. And there's two you've just mentioned there. Brilliant. Cheers for that, Pete. Appreciate
Can
it.
I add? I'll add you
Go
into
ahead.
that as well, Les. The other Evertonian who I love in my life is you, and
Straight back at you,
because of
mate.
all the great work you do. And I tell you what, it's honestly my favourite time of the week when we do mailbag on a Friday. I look forward to it every single week.
Is
We
a good
tend
laugh,
to,
isn't it?
it's great, isn't it? I even,
Yeah.
I do think though that we need to start doing like that regular impressions segment.
Yeah. I think
If that.
for anyone who hasn't watched the last mailbag, even if you don't want to watch it all, just go to like the last 5, 10 minutes, the impression
Yeah,
chart. Pretty good, isn't it?
it's pretty good. It's pretty good, Les. That's quite.
Yeah,
I'd never actually heard myself do an impression before because obviously I don't like. Yeah.
I haven't listened back yet. I don't know if I want to, because mine probably sounds a lot worse than it sounds in my head.
Oh, it was brilliant. No, it was
Great
great.
stuff.
So, yeah, sorry. Bit of a tangent there, but yeah.
No, love it.
My
And
favorite
any chance
thing
that
about Everton, the mailbag.
the mailbag, it's gotta be, hasn't it? Amazing. Cheers for that, Pete. Nice one. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for all your choices. Absolute belters. And I did like the fact that you threw in a lot of Everton women there as well. Good
Too
stuff.
right. Up the top.
Yeah, so thanks to everyone for watching or listening. As I say, if you want to get involved, leave a comment on YouTube, or send a DM to at the Blue Room EFC on Twitter. We'll catch you next time on Old New Borrowed Blue.
Sports Social Podcast Network.